put off the old man with his deeds, and that put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight, and I thank you that we can enjoy this change through your Holy Spirit, dear God. We can learn your will, having been enlightened by your Spirit. We can understand your word, and we can yield to you and allow you day by day to change our lives more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would do that in our lives, and Father, that thereby we would know the joy that you want us to know, and that you would be glorified, Heavenly Father, and be with those watching the children tonight. I think Sister Pat's in there. Bless caring for the children and fill with thy Spirit there. Thank you for the good services this morning. Once again, beyond our understanding, we look for the moving of your Spirit in our meeting tonight. We know you're here with us. We know you want to work in our hearts. And so help us yield to that and to draw closer to you, and guide us and direct us forth for whatever you may have for us individually and as a church in the days that we have remaining until you return, as we look for you. And Father, help us just to be careful to thank you and praise you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to grab my water when I pour it in. Let's go. Maybe I got it. Did I carry that with me? No, I must have. I don't know what I did. I had it sitting by my chair there. Oh, well. Somebody's getting me a glass here. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Austin. The mystery glass. Where did it go? Oh, I set it back there. Okay. This morning I set my glass. Ah, okay. All right.
Okay. Speed of pill?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we can do that.
All right. So if you have your outline with you, we were looking at some lists on things we're supposed to put off there. We talked about in verse 9 there, lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And we talked about how we're supposed to put away lying. We realized that Jesus Christ is the truth, and that we are supposed to be speaking the truth in love. And truth and faithfulness are in many ways synonymous. If you're a faithful person, you're going to be a truthful person. And so God wants us to be truthful. We looked at the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the glory of his being, in how that he is the truth, and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all bear witness to that. He really doesn't need man's witness. He's above that. But just because he's ministering among men, he chose to use the witness of John the Baptist, who, like all men, let God be true and let every man a liar. But he was probably what many would consider the best on earth at that time as far as being truthful and putting forth the word of God. And he bear witness. Jesus said, even John bear witness of me. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. And so we worship the one who is indeed holy and true, and far beyond our understanding. Yet we can be thankful for his love and power in our lives. Question 17 in your book asks, how do believers lie, particularly one to another? Now, husbands and wives, if it's between you, just don't share that tonight, okay? But anybody? Sister Sandra?
Well, we can act one way in church, and then as soon as we pass through the door, there's fighting in the car on the way.
Yeah.
The way to church, but then change the disposition as soon as we walk in.
Yes. one humorous Christian song said, drove to church wearing frozen smiles of frozen, or had a knockdown, entered church with frozen smiles of delight, but on the way we had a knockdown, drag out, punch your lights out, family fight. You know, and, yeah, we can do that. But, you know, pretend things are all well, you know, but they're not. And so that might be a way that we do that. Anybody else? Anything else that how believers might lie one to another, Brother Austin?
Flattery,
yep, flattery. And what is it? A hypocrite won't say to your face what he says behind your back, and a flatterer won't say behind your back what he says to your face. Yeah, it's always risky for me to step out in those things and remember those sayings, as you guys have found out, okay? So this is totally a faith venture for me, a fresh and anew every day. Amen. All right, anybody have anything else there? Okay, Brother Charlie. What was that? Do I look fat in these jeans? Yeah, that might. That. Yeah. Yeah, some of those can tempt us to lie. Okay. Yes, honey.
And probably for newer Christians, it might be more obvious, but like smoking, you do everything to cover it up.
Yes. Yes.
And pretend like, yeah, you don't. When yeah. Everybody knows you do.
Yeah.
But as you are growing in your walk, they might become a little bit more subtle, and people don't realize that you walk into church with maybe a big sin that you're just hanging on to, but nobody knows about it, and you don't seek either counsel or accountability from brethren.
Right. Yep, you forget that God can see it, or worse yet, you dismiss the fact that God knows it. And we talked some about that in a recent lesson. Yeah, that's for sure. She was talking about the smoking thing. I have had to think of deacons that we had years ago. We first got saved, and we both smoked. We first got saved, and now there's a respect thing also. I mean, someone may smoke, and they may wait until they're out of sight of the church before they light up a cigarette. I don't necessarily think that's all necessarily hypocrisy. Maybe the Spirit's, I mean, they're realizing the Spirit's working. And they just, they're convicted around the church. And, you know, it's not like, I got away with it again, you know, two blocks away, nobody saw. They're not thinking that, you know, okay? It's not that way. But I remember smoking and we would, of course, we didn't smoke on the way to church or anything like that, but we still smoked for a while. We were saved, but we'd have our deacon would come over and visit us, and we'd put all the ashtrays away. So one day, Brother Charlie said, he said, you know, you guys don't have to hide. He says, we know you smoke. You don't have to hide your stuff when we come visit you. And you know what? They loved us anyway, that was a blessing. And I'm thankful for Christians that are transparent like that and are ready to meet you where you're at. Amen. And that's a great blessing. Amen. All right. Anything else? Let's just move along right there. We've stayed on good ground. Let's just keep on rolling right there. Good. All right. And so point number B, we're looking at the explanation, and it has a number one under B. It says, in Christ, the believer died to sin. So verse 9 there, end of the verse, seeing ye that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And we understand that that means that that the power of sin is broken. The old man, it was really all that he could do with sin. He either loved sin and maybe indulged in all kinds of abominable things for the pleasure, or he was a morally righteous, self-righteous person and chose that route of sin. Either way, before we were saved, we chose some route of sin that we were reveling in. And the Holy Spirit has broken that power. So that we can walk with the Lord, we can be departing from sin and putting off these things as we're commanded. We do need to understand that regeneration is a process. The Spirit's working on. Yes, we're born again. Yes, you're a new creature now, but God is still working. the sins Paul listed in the previous verses. In a sense, we talked our past out of style. Remember, we had our old tie contest. Brother Dennis won hands down on that one and brought in some old ties there. And some of the habits that we had, the way that we spoke in the old life, don't fit the Christian life and have no place in it. And God says that we ought to be putting those things off. The old man, once we're born again, with his deceitful lusts, has been exposed. Our blinded eyes have been opened by the light of God's word to the glory of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, the domination of that sin has now been destroyed by the power of the resurrection of Christ, who died for our sins and rose again the third day. So not only now do we realize the depravity of our sin, but we realize also that we have the power to live differently. And we learn these things by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. And so we can start walking differently. We can start and be continually putting these things off. And by the wording is here is get to it right away. Don't tarry. Be putting these things away. In Christ, the believer died to sin. And then they have a point two under there. And that is, the believer is supposed to be Christ-like. Who is it that we are following? It's Jesus Christ. And we're trying to follow him, wanting to be like him, trying to follow other believers who are like Jesus Christ, and trying to be like them, and as we try to follow Christ. And God uses all of these things. Seeing we put off the old man with his deeds, verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Renewed in knowledge. We're being renewed. That word renewed there is connected with the working of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. How he is, he's regenerated us. He's renewing us. Jesus said in John 8:32, "Ye shall know the truth," what? "And the truth shall make you free." Because we're born again, we can understand the Word of God now. We can see, as we read, sins in our own lives. And we can what? We can confess those things, and we can, by the Spirit of God, forsake those things and be changed. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I like that sign for being saved, for being free. Was it this one? That's just a wonderful sign. Being bound to that thing, and now being freed from the service of sin and Satan, to serve Christ, amen, and to live for him. Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." He's working in us. He's living in us. And because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, and for the glory of the Father, God has given him all power. God has committed all power unto the Son. When we believe in Christ, he sends the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. Thank God forever. Amen. And that's a wonderful thought to ponder. That Christ would live in us. You know, it was an amazing enough thing that he would put on a body, first of all. That he would come from that oneness in heaven, dwelling with God as one and yet three, yet not in a physical body that we can touch and such. That he would put on a physical body. It's amazing that he would do that. But then that he would come and send his Spirit to dwell in a body that still has a sinful nature. That's almost even more amazing, isn't it? That we get saved. Yes, we're born again. Yes, he dwells in us. But we still have a sinful nature in us, don't we? Now, it's been dethroned. One day it'll be removed. But it's still there. And we can have victory over that nature as we yield to him. And it's an amazing thing. To think about that. In John 14:16, Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, another of the same kind, another of the same, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. See, we've received him. But the world, whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. Christ was then with them, and the Spirit was with Christ. He said, he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you, is what he told his disciples, his apostles. He's with you now in Christ, and he shall be in you. When I return to the Father, and people trust in me, I'm going to send my Spirit to live in them eternally. And that is such an amazing truth to ponder. All the wisdom and power for growth in the Christian life has been purchased for us by Jesus Christ. And it is made effectual in us through the working of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. That's how he's accomplishing that work in us. Talking about this renewing here in the passage here. And being renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him in verse 10 there. Renewing associated with the work of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 6:15 says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Interesting. So we don't go forward in the Christian life by circumcision, what we do, nor by uncircumcision, what we don't do, whether we become a Jew or whether we don't become a Jew, or whatever laws you want to put up there. We don't go forward by law keeping of any type. We only go forward by a new creature. Now, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Availeth anything. That phrase should sound familiar. Matter of fact, we've seen a phrase very similar to that when we went through the book of Galatians. You'd find that in Galatians 5:6. "For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision." Sounds pretty similar, doesn't it? Then it says, "But faith which worketh by love." Well, which is it? Is it the new creature? That's the only thing that avails us here. This in the one verse. Well, the only thing that avails in Galatians is faith that works by love. Well, what is it? Well, it's both. They're really both the same. And we'll see that. We'll take just a brief study and look at that. Going through, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. All things are become new." And what a wonderful truth that is. So we're going to see how that the new creature and faith which works by love, the similarity. But I mentioned when we went through the book of Galatians that faith working by love, that these are our pillars of the Christian life as far as going forward in our growth. And I mentioned and didn't track any passages that in the New Testament, mentioned there are multiple passages that speak of faith and love, faith and love, faith and love. And I just want to review, point to a few of those tonight in Ephesians 1:15. And by the way, faith, these are where faith and love are mentioned. And now, obviously, faith and love are going to find mentioned where you find what? The fruits of the Spirit. Because they're each a fruit of the Spirit. But these passages are not those passages. They're also, faith and love are also mentioned in passages with the other fruits of the Spirit. But these are passages where they are spoken of separately, apart from the other fruits of the Spirit, where it seems they're made preeminent in a sense in our going forward of the Christian life. Ephesians 1:15, Paul writes to the church there, "After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all saints." Just those two mentioned. Ephesians 3:17, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may grow unto perfection." Faith and love. Ephesians 6:23, all these Ephesians so far. "Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." See how they're kind of set forth there as pillars of our growth. Colossians 1:4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all saints. It seemed like a general thing that kind of covers the whole of Christian life in a way. When he wrote his letter to Philemon, and he was joyed to hear of the God's work through Philemon in his ministry to others. And he wrote in Philemon, verse 5, he says, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast to the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Love and faith, faith and love. He writes to Timothy, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Faith and love. And James chapter 2, verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised them that what? Love him. Faith and love. Faith and love. Faith and love. again, you'll find faith and love exalted even in another way, but this time charity is added. All those passages were faith and love apart from the other fruits of the Spirit. Now we have places where faith, love, and charity we find apart from the other fruits of the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Remember without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So work of faith, labor of love. Charity, and so we got both faith and love in there. And we have hope included there as well. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of what? Faith and love. And for an helmet, the hope of salvation. See, faith and love produce hope. We'll get to that. Get ahead of myself. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. You know what I think? God said, I mean, it doesn't matter what I think, but read your Bible and let's see what you read your Bible and see what you think. See what God says to you. But the greatest of these is charity. Why is that the greatest? Well, it seems to me when I study 1 Corinthians 13 that love produces all those things. You read about what's 1 Corinthians 13 talking about? Love, charity. Just to put it in one verse, look at 1 Corinthians 13:7, talking about charity. Charity, here's what charity does. Here's what love does. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things. What's that? That's faith. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's what love does. That's what charity does. See, charity, love will produce those things. Love will produce that endurance. Love will produce that holiness. Charity, the Bible says, does not behave itself, what? Unseemly. It's not going to act out of God's will in an unfitting way. There's so much included in love. It seems to be the fount of all the fruits. By the way, it is listed first, isn't it? Whenever the fruits of the Spirit are listed. It's love. And then the other seems to be the fount of the fruits. Faith and love. So, what are we looking at? We're going to look at how the Spirit, the new creature, is the only thing that avails, and faith and love is the only thing that avails. Well, how does the Spirit work? Really, by faith and by love. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. By the way, what does the Spirit use? The Word of God, doesn't he? Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So what does that new creature use? The Word of God. That's that faith. That's what that new creature is going to use in you. That's what the Spirit's going to use in you, is the Word of God. There's faith in the Word of God. We find this working of the Spirit testified in 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what's happening? Speaking of the renewing, the regeneration, Paul says that we're being changed more into the image of Christ. How is that happening? Beholding in a glass. What's the glass? The Word of God. So the Spirit, we see the Spirit there. Faith in what's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. That's the first one listed. We see the Spirit working there, and what's He using? The Word of God. Faith. Love and faith. They're inseparable, even from the working of the Spirit. The glass is the Word of God in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we see that verified in James chapter 1, verse 22 and following. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto him beholding his natural face in a what? Glass. So if you're receiving the word, you're being a hearer of the word. Now he talks about being hearer of the word because, you know, we can read the word ourselves a lot more than they could, because most of them didn't have copies of the word. So most often they were hearers, they had to be hearers of the word. But we can now read it as well and be hearers of it. If any man if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way, straightway forget what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the New Testament freedom we have in Christ, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So if we look in this book, in this law of liberty which Christ has purchased for us, and we are beholding ourselves, not just a quick glance, no, we're looking for what needs to change. I don't know about you, but when I get up and look in the mirror before I go out into the public, I'm looking for what needs to change, okay? Now, frankly, I can't change some of it, all right? But at least, praise God, we can change the things that need to be changed spiritually, amen? But beholding their face and glass and being changed to the same image from glory to glory. So we see that in a sense, the new creature availing would be what? It would be the Holy Spirit working through us. Where does that love come from? The Spirit. So faith and love and the new creature are really, in a sense, they work through the same means. Faith and love, that's what the Spirit's using to grow us, to do the renewing. So we see that when he says, nothing, the only thing that avails is the new creature. The only thing that avails is faith and love. Well, it makes sense when we know how the Spirit works and what he uses. That's what he's using to move us forward in the Christian life. Someone has said about the Christian life, we are probably aren't as good as we ought to be. We are for sure not as good as we're going to be. But thanks be to God, we are not as bad as we used to be. Amen. And that's a blessing. And we can be going forward and going more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. He has saved us from the penalty and power of sin. That's done. We are saved both from the penalty and the power of sin now. You say, well, I don't know, I have a hard time getting rid of my sin. Well, that's because you're wanting to keep it too much. You know, long story short, I mentioned I smoked for 3 years after I was saved. And after that grueling 3 years of going back and forth and fighting with that thing, when God finally gave me victory over that, he also showed me why I hung on to it so long. I didn't want to get rid of it bad enough. I wouldn't have appreciated God's power if he had delivered me any sooner. When he delivered me, I knew it was him. It was a humbling thing. And it was a long trial. And my wife quit before I did, and it was a long trial. We had our kids, you know, and I quit shortly after Rebecca was born. But after we have our kids, I began smoking outside, didn't smoke in the house anymore and such. But she had quit. And did you quit before we had Joe? Before we had Rebecca, yeah. But we'd smoked outside, didn't smoke around him, but she quit before I did. But it was a hard struggle. but God eventually delivered. It was just like, well, when you wanted it bad enough, when you really meant that, Lord, whatever it takes, take this thing away from me. God said, okay, I see you mean it this time. I see you were sincere this time. And then it happened. Sometimes it takes a while for God to build our sincerity, doesn't it? And get us where we need to be. And thank God he does it. Amen. And we can be thankful for that. So he has saved us now. He saved us from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin. And he's begun this good work in us to save us from the practice of our sin and conform us into the image of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad that he is going to continue this work. Philippians 1:6, Paul wrote, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. When? Until the day of Jesus Christ. Until the day of Jesus Christ. He is going to be faithful to complete it. We are not yet what we're going to be, but hopefully we are growing more and more like Jesus Christ each day. And then point number three, believers are one in Christ. Colossians 3:11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. The more we study the Bible, the more we realize what that verse just said right there, don't we? That Christ is all and in all in the Christian life. We think about, you know, without me you can do nothing. Nothing avails in the Christian life but the new creature, my spirit I put in you. Faith in my word. Love which my spirit produces. That's the only availing things in the Christian life. And when we realize, guess what? We all have it. We all have the same thing. What unity, amen, that bonds us together. You know, God didn't look down and say, wow, that guy's really smart. I could really use him in my ministry. Wow, lots of souls could be saved through that guy or through that gal. Huh? God never said that about a single person. Without him, we can do what? Nothing. God says, I'll use this person. I'll change him. I'll work this way through them. I'll work that way through them. See, that's what God does. So there's that unity. Do we all have the same gifts? No, we don't. We have different talents, different gifts, and we ought to cultivate our gifts. We ought to study the Word of God. You know, we ought to be serving the Lord. We ought to be yielding to the Spirit. We can grow. There's a yielding process that we need to do, that we need to let God work. Unfortunately, as believers, I say unfortunately in my limited wisdom, God's using it for something, but unfortunately as believers, we can resist the Spirit. We don't have to listen to him. That's just, I guess, the way God is. He's not going to make us. What's love if it's forced? Amen? He's allowing us to yield and to show him that love. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so we can yield to that. So question 18, the last question in your book, says, which of the sins listed in these verses would be squelched in a church or family if every church or family member had a strong sense of belonging to the family of God? Anybody want to pick any out of that list in those verses? Probably all of them. They say especially gossip, anger, malice, and lying. You know, if we all realize that we're one, had that love toward each other, those things would what? They'd flee away. You know, I picked this, you know, when you turn on the light, what happens? Darkness flees, doesn't it? And that's the way it is among Christians. When the light's been turned on in our heart, those dark things ought to flee, amen? We ought to be casting those things off. All right, so we'll look at this. I handed out these papers here, and we'll look at this and see what they have for us on here. New car, old clothes. What in the world was that? Steve yelled at the driver who had just hit his brand new van while he was on his way to deacon's meeting. Steve then quickly called the police. Yes, I'd like to report an idiot driver. She just hit my van. It was unbelievable. I can't believe how stupid a person can be. Steve paced next to his van as he talked to the police. He glared in the direction of the young gal, who was too frightened to get out of her car. Question number one, does Steve have a right to be angry? Anybody? Sister Lynn?
Yep.
You can be angry. What do you do with anger? Anger is a feeling. Don't tell people, don't feel that way. If you feel that way, you feel that way. But deal with it. Amen. Feelings are not to be our rulers. Sister Sylvie, do you have something for that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah?
You can be angry.
Yeah. Be angry and what? Sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Question two. Colossians 3:5-11, we've read multiple times. Describe Steve's spiritual clothes. Are they new and clean, or are they tattered and worn? See, it's one thing to be angry, but what did he say her name was? Well, he didn't say her name, but he gave her one, didn't he? Yeah, he had a nice name for her, you know. Why, that idiot, you know, name calling. And that sounds like the old clothing, doesn't it? Sounds like the old nature. Doesn't sound very gracious, does it? And that old nature. Question three: What did Steve's anger do to any chance he had to minister to the young gal who hit his car? What an opportunity to be salt and light. Amen. I hit his car and he blew up. Yeah, that's what you'd expect from us, from lost creatures, huh? What if she could have said, I just smashed the side of his brand new van. He's probably the nicest guy I ever met. You could tell he was upset, but you could tell he felt sorry for me too. And he knew that I was hurt, and that I was upset about it. He cared about me too. Imagine if that could have been her testimony. What could Steve do to change his spiritual clothes? Question four. Well, he can look back on that, you know, and say, wow. How many of you ever went through something like that and said, man, I didn't handle that well? Yeah, my hand's up. Yeah, God, I wish I could do that over again. Yeah. You'll get your chance. It'll probably be a different person, so be watching for it, okay? But yeah, we can put off the old clothes and put on the new, amen. Isn't it wonderful? You know, we've had those experiences where we just didn't get it, we missed it. But I pray that we've all had those experiences where we can say, thank God I got it that time. Not in a proud way. That wouldn't be right, like Brother Chris was sharing this morning. Not in a proud way. But just in the fact that I know God helped me there. Amen. And I know that that person somehow was thinking, what in the world was that? People don't usually act like that when something that bad happens to them. You know? Hopefully we've had those circumstances where we were able to be that salt and light that our Lord encourages us and wants us to be for His glory. And that's a personal question. What will you do to change any old spiritual clothes that you have been wearing lately? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word tonight. And God, when I think about this church and the individuals in this church, I love this church. And I'm so thankful for each one here. God, You have... I feel so blessed that You brought us together and You're allowing us to labor together, Father. It's a glorious thing. And I'm thankful that we can meet here together and that You're with us. Father, help us, each one, Lord, in our walk with You, to be more like Your blessed Son. Father, help us. There may be an opportunity during the week, should You tarry, where we can put off the old clothes. The devil will want us to react rather than respond. Father, we ought to always be looking to you, always praying, always ready to throw up that prayer of help, that prayer for that guidance that only you can give, and that grace that you can give in a moment's notice. And immediately, as we call upon you in our hearts, don't even have to mouth it, just thinking it, Lord. Father, there may be an opportunity that your Spirit could shine through us this week in a difficult situation, in some trial, in some tribulation, to be a light unto another. Maybe an opportunity to share the gospel with someone. Father, to do a kind deed to help someone. Lord, help us to beware of these things as you bring them our way, and to glorify your name in them. And help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. And we do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.